Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Please help me welcome Tina Atinga as she comes to deliver the word of God today.
I'll tell you guys something. My husband irons my clothes. It's just so amazing. He may constantly joke about how I'm the generous one. That's not true. He really is the generous one. He's taught me how to be generous, to be giving, especially of time and energy and of trust. I just want to start with that. Thank you, Nelly, for even trusting me today. I've been really battling a lot of resistance coming up here today. One is sickness, and even a while ago, just losing my voice. And now, thank you for praying for me right now. My headache's gone. So right now, I thought I was going to faint. I just want to say one thing. When you are called to do something or to speak and glorify God, there will be resistance, but there's nothing to be afraid of. And I'll say another thing. It gets easier to battle when you're with people. I had my second wives meeting of the year a while ago. I asked to meet up with some of the wives for selfish reasons. I needed encouragement just an hour, just 2 hours ago. And I knew that when I say selfish reasons is because I knew I needed to be around brothers and sisters at times like this when I'm needing to battle, when I'm needing to really press on. So for those of you, and we're singing that song, Break Every Chain, a while ago, if you are going through something right now, don't go through it alone. And I'm glad you're here in this family because we really believe in got your back, bro. I was going to say, we believe in getting each other's back. And that's why I've been losing my English. Please pray for me. But seriously, I just want to say thank you for those of you who have been texting me. It's all the same thing. We've got you. We've got you. We're praying for you. And it just makes it so easier for me to just really hopefully do what God wants me to do today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. You're sovereign, Father, and we even thank you, Lord, that all we need to do is to be still. And even the song goes, we just need to be still, and you know that you are God. And as we enter into this realization and into this truth, Father, would you reveal to us stuff that we don't already know? Would you reveal to us, Lord, areas in our hearts that are not evangelized? Would you evangelize to those portions of our hearts that haven't been evangelized to, God? So we recognize today that we are here by your mercy, your grace. We thank you for getting us here today. And Father, would you use my lips today for your people to hear your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want us to, because we're starting our series on generosity, I just wanted to remind the church a little bit of how generous they were the other time. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, what was that, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? We were at Michael's Oriental, and we did this launch of our Ian Brisbane Community Services Arm. Everybody give ourselves a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you now that we are finally activating just formally our service to the community. And I want you to know that because we actually made more in that auction, how many of you enjoyed that auction? I'm never being an auctioneer again. Lost all my words that night. That's probably where all my words went in auctioneering. Anyway, I want you to know that we didn't only raise enough money to bless the families of the inmates that we are supposed to bless. We also were able to send money overseas to the Oasis Baby Home for Rescued and Abandoned Babies in Pattaya, Thailand. It's a new, if I don't know if you heard of it, Chris. It's a Charmese thing. So we actually have a family, church family from Singapore who gave up all they had in Singapore to start this shelter for babies who have been abandoned by people who have been involved in human trafficking. And so together with a bigger organization, what they do is they take in these abandoned babies. And this is Charmy. She's from Singapore. She's actually once in my life group. And she just up and left Singapore just with another girl named Rosie, very a sweet woman as well. And they, in faith, just went and started this shelter. So you can see here, it's pretty much at its gestation period. We only have about a couple of cribs for kids. These are just a couple of the kids. They get younger than that. And I don't really have time to play the video, but judging from your responses, I believe that you guys, and I believe that this family's culture really helped this community. So I want to really just thank you guys for participating in that auction. We were able to send some money to this, to the Oasis, and you can see them on Facebook as well. So it was really, really exciting, and I was really just so, you know, at the end of it, I was on a high, and that week after, I met up with a couple of people who asked if, you know, I could help them out in some issues they had relationally with other people. So I call them reconciliation meetings. I had about four of them every single day. I was sitting down with people and just seeing God's goodness of reconciling people and just, you know, just delivering the love necessary for us to give one another. So that night, I was just on a high. I said, God, and you know, when you're on a high, you're ready to give more. You're so confident to raise your hands to the Lord. And I said, God, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to this church, to my sisters, to what you're doing. Father, use myself and Nelly, Lord God. Just use us more. You know, if we don't want to move forward, if there's anything in our hearts that is not right, don't move us forward. But we want to advance, Lord. We really believe that you're going to give us more. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Break every chain. Break every chain. You know, I was just singing around dancing. I do that, by the way. Don't get scared. But yeah. So the minute I was just out of my praise high, I sit down and I open up my email, and the first email that opens up was a very offensive email. I open it up, and it was, in my perception, very offensive to me. It just came out of the blue. And in that email, I had an option. Should I feel sorry about the situation she's going through? Or should I really feel offended about the lies she's saying about me or what's happening? And this, brothers and sisters, this never happened between us. So that's why I know it's very demonic. Because this never happened out of the, how many years of just, it just, really, I get this email. I'm almost like, is this really from her? And so in that email, I had a choice. Do I feel sorry and mercy and just give her love? Or do I actually feel offended? And then it dawned on me. God was showing me something. He asked me, Tina, these past couple of weeks, why was it so easy for you to give? Why was it so easy for you to let go of that money and give it to these abandoned babies? Why was it easy for you to meet up with your sisters and do these meetings? Why is it easy for you? And then I realized the answer was this. Well, they never offended me. They never offended me. And so in that state, I realized, oh God, I really had to repent. Here am I thinking, oh, I'm sweet, you know? I mean, we can give. We have this ability to give. But when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, and when you have to give in a state of actually being offended, will you give it with all your heart? Will you be there? Are you even there when you give? And I had to, poor guy, you know, it was 2 a.m. I didn't know what to do. I was wrestling with my heart. It's funny because I wanted to, I was calling up, you know. I said, what should I do if I call up? Should I lash out or should I say, are you okay? You know? And it's a good thing it was busy. You know, the phone lines were busy. You know? So I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. How many know? For those of you who are close to me, I'd probably have lashed out, right? So God knew. God comes. He knows what we can handle. But when I prayed with Nelly and I said, God, Nelly, you need to pray with me. I haven't been offended in years. You know, years. Here I am thinking, and some of you may have heard this, it takes a lot for me to get offended. I always say this to a lot of people. Little did I know that wasn't true. Church, if you think it takes a lot for you to get offended, check again. You know, you need to really guard this heart of yours and see what needs to be cleansed out so that you don't bite the bullet. So Nelly and I were praying, and he just reminded me of a couple of things. And as a matter of fact, there was one point Nelly asked me, and I know he was just investigating, are you sure you didn't do that? And I almost got offended. Hi-ya! You know, it's like, whose side are you on? You know, it's so easy to do that. But again, by God's grace, breathe. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. Wives, husbands, just do that, okay? And it's a good thing, just in one breath, and I looked at his sparkling eyes, you know, I knew, and puppy eyes. Yeah, and his George, the monkey pajamas. Can I tell everybody you had it? He's got that Curious George pajamas. My husband has Curious George pajamas. I'm sorry. I'm proud of that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I love it. He has Curious George pajamas. Sorry. Okay, I bought them. Sorry, that's a thing. I like it. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm glad you were wearing that night. That helped. But you know, okay, back in spirit. So it was really amazing how, you know, the sudden turn and the way God just showed my heart. And so here I was calling her up. Actually, funny thing is, I fooled myself. I tricked myself that night into thinking that I actually called her up and just say these words. Our truths may not be the same, but I love you, and here's what you're asking for, you know? So I kind of like slept okay the next day, and I said, gosh, thank you, Jesus, for changing my heart. You know, I just give. You know, even if I'm not supposed to give, I'm just giving. And then the Lord said, uh-huh, really, ah? Lord Singaporean, by the way. So, sure not. Sure one, huh? So the Lord was asking me, are you sure you're okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Look, Lord, I released it. I agreed to give. I called her up. Then I played back what actually happened that night. So it was easy. I deceived myself again into thinking, wow, you know, I've got it all together. You know, I was going to release that offense. I mean, no, I wasn't going to release. God provided the way. I had to recognize God provided the way. I think in any offense, in anything that we're struggling with, when God takes us out of it, the moment that you don't recognize He didn't provide the way, you're still in sin. You didn't get from point A to point B. So I just really want to say this, church. The thing about generosity, and I call this preaching Generosity 101. Let's remember who paid the down payment. Actually, if you were to ask me, it's actually the full payment He paid in anything that we do. And I want to talk specifically generosity of heart here. We'll have all the time in the world to talk about generosity, but I want to talk about the heart. Because I know every one of us here today have asked that question, are we giving out of our hearts? I don't want to, or maybe some of you who are the all or nothing ones, I want to do it if my heart's not in there. Have you said that before? I want to do it if my heart's not in there. Can I give you news? Your heart will never be in there. Your heart will never be in there. Apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. Or maybe some of us may have judged other people's hearts. Some of us may be the kind of spy, you know, that agent who thinks they've got it all together and can see through their hearts, like, what really is the motive of this person? Honey, if you can read motives, then you're Jesus. So all I can say, you cannot read anybody's motives. You can't read anybody's heart. I'll say it again, you can't judge motives. Only Jesus can judge the motives. Yeah, I say that with a passion because I do it. God knows. I love my husband. I will claim it. I know I walk in it. The gift of word of knowledge, the gift of discernment, gift of prophetic word. I claim it and I praise God for that. My husband just comes in. Are you sure that was gift of discernment or gift of suspicion? You tell me, you know. That's his gentle way of telling me that I wasn't operating in the spirit. So we got to be careful. We've been part of this church long enough. You know one thing that we can't stand. We kind of like have a disinfectant spray on the door, you know, for people come in and out. We disinfect in one disease here, the God told me itis disease. Ooh, everybody, ooh. Everybody say Mufasa, ooh, you know? When we start to judge and we start to manipulate the word of God, God told me this. Oh no, be careful with what you say. I don't want, you know, this to sound all doom and gloom. I really say this in love. Don't judge my heart. But I say this in love. Because I don't want you guys to experience what I experienced. It may be a little thing. But what the Lord showed me that night was the wretchedness we have. And how stinky it can get if we don't recognize it. I really say this in love, right? Judge not other people's hearts. Look at your own first. The Bible says that before you take that speck out of your neighbor's eye, take that little, big stinking plank out of your own eye. And there's wisdom in that. Not just so we can become better people, but it helps us become to be more Christ-like. To really understand what it means to be Christ-like and not what we understand to what it means to be good. It's different. It's very different. How is it different? Well, it's the way we are generous. First thing we need to understand here is You can't give what you haven't received. Say it again. You can't give what we haven't received. God has done something for us on the cross. We often hear people tell, you know, talk about other people. He's a good man. I've had this question before. Well, he's a good man. He's given a lot to charity. He's a good husband. Why can't he go to heaven? He, you know, he does his chores. He's faithful at his work. He's cute too. Yeah. Sometimes the cute comes first before all of that. And we say, well, why can't he, you know, why can't he be entitled to this? Honey, apart from God, it's nothing. Apart from God, any best work we have is filth. Any good thing we have apart from God is filth. The Bible says so. But the Lord Almighty, in his graciousness, freely he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. So all of this will make sense. So all the hard work we put in will actually be purposeful. That's the beauty about God. If we don't receive that gift, we'll forever be toiling and toiling and toiling and not feeling that satisfaction of being generous. See, honey, the only satisfaction you get from out of being generous is knowing that your supply won't run out. Because if your source of supply is yourself, you're going to come to an end. You're going to come to the end of it. And you're going to start taking and you're going to start feeling entitled. What about me? I did this. Well, what about me? You see, especially when it comes to the area of forgiveness, if we forget what we have received, or if we firstly don't receive the ultimate forgiveness from Jesus Christ, we can't forgive others. It's hard to do that. Let me break it down a bit. Matthew 10, 7, verse 8 says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give." It's not easy to preach, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You for real? It's not easy, right? Especially if it's coming out of your own resources. I mean, how many of you are coming here to church? It took a lot of resources for you to come here to church. What more? These things. The only way we can do these things is understanding God's grace and receiving it. Come to the end of yourselves and say, I can't do this without Christ. I can't be good without Christ. It's a myth. So fully understanding how God had forgiven you, how he gave his only son to set you free, to break every chain, will give you that ability to forgive. You see, the ability to forgive equals the ability to receive. If we think that we have it in us to be kind and to forgive, we don't. We will get offended easily as humans. We do. It's our nature. But if we don't understand the cross, what he did on the cross and how we offended him in the first place and how he forgave us, if we don't receive that truth, we will never, ever be able to forgive other people. God was so offended by us. We offend him every day, yet he chooses to forgive us every day. Are we willing to do that? Next thing that we need to keep in mind is that you can't give what you don't own. You don't give what you don't own. I see this, I love it. My cute little Jordan, she wraps me a gift every morning. Well, not every, most of the time she comes, Mom, here, this is for you. And then it's a gift, I'm excited to open it. I open it up and it's my iPad, you know? Next morning, this is for you. I open it up. Oh, yeah, it's my shoe, you know, it's mine. And I'm just waiting for the day she wraps Nelly's wallet and gives it to me, you know? Now I'm waiting for that gift, you know? But you see, as cute as it is, and I think that's what Christ sees in us when we give a heart to give. You know, he knows that, you know, these things that we give other people are not ours to have in the first place. But he's so touched. He's so, you know, he's so blessed when he sees the family or the church, the brothers in Christ give each other stuff, the time, the effort, or we reach out. He knows it's his, but because we understand in the first place that without him, apart from him, we had nothing to own. Right? He owns everything. He owns everything. I shared this during that night in the community services night. The vision that God gave Nelly and I for this church is the Acts kind of church where nobody owns anything. It's all at the floor. You know, it's everybody. We share. Be kind to the first people. Be kind first to the people belonging to the house of God. Then we can actually be successful. in reaching out. We will follow that. I'm excited to follow that. There's a lot of generous people here. And I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to see that. But we first have to understand that we don't own anything. It's God who gave us the ability to give. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Say that. Don't boast, huh? Say it to your neighbor. Don't boast, huh? Sorry, I still have my Singapore affiliations here. I need to let it out once in a while. Okay, for by grace. So we have to say by grace. It's really God's grace. Please, church, remember, you didn't deserve this life in the first place. We never, and when I say you, me too, we never deserved it, but God was so kind to us to give us this life. And we are so thankful for that. Before we can truly understand this grace, we need to also understand what it means to truly be repentant, to know where we came from. I love how God represents ourselves in the Bible as well. I was looking at the life, even last week, Nelly mentioned about Saul and David. I want to bring back the stories to Saul and David to see how he repented and to see how there was a bit of entitlement here, thinking that he owned things, okay, out of his own measure. So Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed in the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. This is the story. Last week, Nelly spoke about when he plundered this place, and the command was to kill everything and not take any livestock or whatever, but he disobeyed. What kind of repentance did he give? Was it full repentance? Not really. He would not give full submission to what he did or to God. He said this, come with me, you know. I have sinned, yet honor me now. All right? Still very entitled. The Saulish way of repentance. Repentance, the Saulish way, is without surrender. It blames others. Well, don't look at me. My mother was like that. How can I be kind to my husband? Look at him. I'm not pointing to anybody, okay? No. I'm not saying, no, not you, love. Oh, my goodness. You wear your Curious George pajamas just for me. I love you. No, not him. I'm reenacting. Sorry, the theater in me is coming out, all right? How can I forgive? He does this to me every single day. Or how can I stop this habit? I'm the eldest of 8 children. That's the kind of repentance, you know? That's the kind of attitude. It's entitled. You blame others. The Saulish way is to offer a good reason for disobedience. But Lord, this is for the advancement of your kingdom. Pridefully expects God to understand why he compromised. Now, if we repent that way, we can't receive. I'll say it again. If we repent this way, we can't receive. And you know what? He did miss the blessing. He was supposed to be the anointed king. But because he compromised, his anointing got stripped off him. He missed the blessing. He had no ownership at the end of the day. Saul lost his mind and his kingdom and lived the rest of his life in disillusionment. Now we look at David. In the whole of, you can read through it, 2 Samuel 12. We find that David's way of repenting makes no excuses. He's willing to face the consequences of sin, especially, again, last week, the story of him murdering his general army and committing adultery with Bathsheba. He's willing to change. He allows God to change his heart. He feels the damage done. When we come before Christ and we want to receive his grace, we need to understand and feel why we need this grace. We need to understand what we did or how we are in our sinful nature is not right. No compromise and stays with the new disciplines. True repentance is a gift from God. If you want to take ownership and receive this true repentance, you first need to do it the Davidic way. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? If we don't recognize God's goodness, we really can't repent. I understand that some of us in here may have a hard time recognizing God's goodness. And to you I say, if you seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul, pursue Him, He will reveal Himself to you. He will do that, I promise you. I sit with some women and during my counseling session, and they tell me what had happened to them. And I look at them, they've got the joy of the Lord, they're fully satisfied, and I'm asking myself, how did they know God's goodness in this state? I'll be honest with you. And sometimes, of course, you know, I have to look, have the whole counseling look that I'm not shocked at what had happened. So again, this thing doesn't surprise me anymore. But some of the stories I hear just wants me to, I just feel like launched out of my seat, like, what? He did that to you? You know? I praise God for the control. But I often ask, it has just got to be you, Lord, that you gave this revelation to her. But she captured it. These girls that I have spoken captured it. And man, what victory. What victory these people have in their lives after fully receiving, not being entitled, taking ownership of the fact that it's God's, not theirs. Not owning the fact that it's all theirs. No. The thing here about ownership, the ownership is God's. So I'm just so amazed when I think about that. One of the things that we actually, this is my personal learning, is about titles. You know how we present titles. And I just want to just belabor a bit on this area of entitlement. Like, why is hard to, it's hard, sometimes hard to forgive because you feel entitled that you can get angry. I have the right to be angry, you know. I actually said this to my daughter, and unfortunately I had to sit down with her and counsel her a bit because I was grumpy one morning. And then she came up to me saying, Mommy, can you please, you know, I want to play iPad, blah, 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 blah. I goes, no, stop that. No. And she goes, Mom, you're so grumpy. I have the right to be grumpy. I'm old and I'm tired, you know. So I paid for it. Show and tell day. I have a mom. She's old and tired, you know. You know, I had to just sit and look, Mommy didn't mean that, you know. But that's how we are like, you know. We feel entitled that we can act this way, we can feel this way. Your entitlement, you be sure what title you present. Because the title that you should only have really is this. You are a sinner saved by grace. That's the only title that you have. You can't call yourself the good Samaritan. You can't call yourself the person who's always gives, the person who has, you know, you can't. That's the only title you have. And because if this is your title, it's easy for you to get the resources to give because you know where it's coming from. All right. The last point I want to say is you can't give what you think you don't have. You know, when people come up to you and say, hey, remember that time that you borrowed my cooler? Huh? Oh, I don't have it. It's not at home. I don't think I have it, you know. But actually, you do, you know. Or there was this funny commercial back in Singapore. And how many of you love IKEA? Oh, love IKEA. This furniture just helps you find everything. And I just remember, for some reason, you know, there was this Chinese mafia. This commercial came. This Chinese mafia was coming into the house of this guy claiming they had the papers, you know, for some bank account. And they looked around. No IKEA furniture. So everything was all disorganized. You know, so all that guy was saying, what puts it out? I mean, I don't have it. I don't know where it is. You know, he couldn't give it because he didn't know he have it. One thing is for sure. Once we have received God's gift of grace, once we have come to know that in the kingdom, with His resources, with His love, we can actually pour out to other people, we need to fight to grow in it. We need to fight to remember God's promises, because it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to backtrack and go back to that place where we would say, I'm too hurt to forgive. I'll share with you a simple truth, and if there's one thing you need to remember, what you do have is forgiveness. What you do have is God's protection. See, a lot of times we forget this principle. And I know those of you who have been in Victory Weekend with me, I love showing this. We are born into this world naked. We don't have anything, right, except the promises in our heart. But as we grow older, what happens to those promises when we experience our fallen nature and the fallen nature of other people? We start to, get a little bit confused. I thought this was an innocent world. I thought, as a baby, they laugh at anything, and then suddenly they get experiences, and suddenly they look at the world in a different way, or they have an experience, or we have experiences that cause us to judge. Why is my mom like that? Why is my dad like that? And then we start to vow, I'll never be my dad. He drinks too much. I'll never be that way. All men, and starts making judgments left and right. You see, but there's a law there. Once we start judging, it comes back to us. It's a principle in the Bible. Be careful there, brethren, with what you do when you judge. For what you judge, it will come back to you in greater measure. So little boy starts to make judgment. Consequences comes around. So by the time you're an adult, suddenly you're paying the consequences of your sin or of your judgments as you go along the way. It becomes bigger. Usually those that say, I don't want to become like father, ends up being like their father. True? The same way we start to judge other people. In Scripture also says, they who see the pure things will judge purely, but they who are defiled will see things as defiled. So it's easier for us to judge, right? That's when we end up starting people's hearts, because all we see is the defilement that happened to us or the things that actually we do in our hearts and we just project on other people. So why we need to understand that God is the source, and we can't forget this. Jesus died on the cross to come in between us and the consequences of what we have judged along the way. When Jesus comes in between us, we don't have to bear the sin, the shame, the consequences, because he bore it for us. That's something we need to remember time and time and again. Freely we received, freely we give. You can't give what you don't have. Your source is Jesus. One last thing. I've heard conversations where I was a bit alarmed, They want to forgive. They want to love their spouses or their kids. But before they get home, they say, I need a drink before I get home. Well, I need to do my shopping fix before I cook dinner for my husband. If you're going to look to these things, alcohol, shopping fixes, other friends, just so you can love on other people, it's going to run out. It's like a credit card that's going to max out. But if you look to Jesus, if you need a wealth of emotions that you need right now, especially to forgive, I don't know why today I need to talk about forgiveness. But the generosity of heart starts with Jesus Christ. Remember this. You can't give what you can't receive. You can't give what you don't own. And you can't give what you don't think you have. I tell you right now, today, you have Jesus knocking at your door. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you for that. And thank you for exposing my Curious George pajamas. Now everybody's curious about George. Anyway. How many of you are thankful that you are forgiven? You know, the Bible talks about a parable where Jesus told of a man who had millions that he owed. And there was the person whom he owed it to pardoned the debt. And he was so thankful for the pardoning of that debt. George? He's so thankful for the pardoning of that debt. But then when somebody owed him money, and it was just like $20. He wanted to take him to court for it. And Jesus' whole point of that parable was how easy it is for us to hold offenses. And yet in light of what Jesus, who had every right to be offended at us, chose to let go of. When we think about the model of what generosity is, it's embodied in the cross. It's embodied in the cross. Somebody who gave himself completely away for us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.